Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
We believe that God takes the church out before the tribulation period, and that those left behind have to give their lives to Him. Some may make it and still live and enter alive into the millennium. And that's the part of the millennium that I didn't explain. Who's populating the earth during the millennium?
As Christians, we look with joyous anticipation to the rapture of the church when Jesus takes us to be with Him. Scripture tells us that begins the seven-year period known as the tribulation. But what happens after that? Today on Practical Christian Living, we bring you part two of our study out of Revelation 24 through 6, answering questions about the millennium. Here's Robert Furrow.
We're going to talk about the characteristics of the millennium momentarily. But first, let's look at our text. You remember that Satan is caught and bound in a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And that's the first introduction to the millennium. That's the first three verses of Revelation chapter 20. And then it says, "And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them." Now, this is kind of open-ended. How many thrones? Where are they? And who's the they that sat on them that were given judgment that was committed to them? Now, even though it's open-ended, we have enough information in the Bible to get some direction. First of all, it's the 12 disciples. Jesus said in Matthew 19:28, "So Jesus said to them, 'Assuredly I say to you, that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on His throne of His glory, you who have followed Me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel.'" So I think that no matter how many thrones there are and where those thrones are, it at least includes the 12 thrones of the 12 apostles who are going to rule with Him. But they're not the only ones spoken of as having thrones. The Bible says we in the church are going to rule and reign with Jesus. And it also seems that what we rule over and what we reign over is connected to our rewards. We talked about rewards before, and what do they mean in eternal life? Are we just going to throw them at the feet of Jesus when we see Him, that we have something to throw in? But there are things we do and we receive rewards for when they're not wood, hay, and stubble, but they are jewels when they're put to the fire and they remain and we receive rewards. It seems like that has to do with ruling and reigning. I'll read you a few verses here in just a moment. In fact, since we're on it now, let me just read this to you here now. This is the thoughts of rewards and reigning, okay, with Him. So it says in Isaiah 40:10, "Behold, the Lord shall come with a strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him and His work before Him." So when He comes the second time to establish His kingdom, His reward is with Him. Matthew 16:27, Jesus says, "For the Son of Man will come in glory and His Father with His angels, and then He will reward each according to His work." His reward is with Him, and we are rewarded in the millennium when He comes down. Revelation 22:12, "And behold, I come quickly, and My reward is with Me, and I give it to everyone according to their work." And finally, Matthew 25:23, "His Lord said to him," this is the parable of the talents, it's the end of it, "His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord.'" Now that's a parable, I understand, but we do have someone receiving a reward and ruling, and we have the millennial period. So I believe that I know we're going to rule because the Bible says that. We're going to rule and reign with Christ. Are any of these thrones for us? I'm going to give you a maybe. All right? We don't know how many thrones there were. I saw thrones. We don't know how many there were. We don't know where they were. Maybe there were thrones all around the world in places that will be ruling and reigning with Him during the millennium period. So then it goes on to say, "Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshiped the beast or His image and had not received the mark on their foreheads or their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Now we know another group that has thrones. The 12 disciples have thrones, we're told. Now those who were in the tribulation period, who would not take the mark of the beast, are given thrones to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. Now, we believe that God takes the church out before the tribulation period, and that those left behind have to give their lives to him. Some may make it and still live and enter alive into the millennium. And that's the part of the millennium that I didn't explain. Who's populating the earth during the millennium? If we have been resurrected, or resurrected raptured, because the rapture happens at the resurrection, if we've been resurrected and raptured and given a new body, and we're no longer married, right? Because in eternity, we're like the angels. I don't want to go way into that now. Don't get too sad, all right? You're still going to know each other in heaven, all right? Your relationship's just going to change. You still have children together. You still got a special bond, all right? All that. But the people who are populating the earth are Israel that's been protected by God during the tribulation period, and Gentiles that survive the end of the world and Jesus destroying all of the ungodly. Now, who could be on the earth that are not ungodly that Jesus didn't destroy? I think it could be the children. I believe in the age of accountability. And I've got a study called All Children Go to Heaven, kind of a play on All Dogs Go to Heaven. And I go over all the passages, why I believe that's the case. It's a very biblical thing. There's a lot of evidence for it. So if you're interested in that, you can go to, probably the best place would just be YouTube, and just look up All Children Go to Heaven on our YouTube page, and that'll pop up for you. But there are people who are populating the earth that Jesus is ruling and reigning over, and some of them, as it goes on, aren't saved. Don't give their lives to Christ. They're living under his kingdom, but they're unsaved. That's at the end of the time when Satan deceives the nations and brings them back, okay? So hopefully that's not too confusing. I have a Q&A later on, right? Saturday, you can write down questions and ask them. Then verse 6, blessed and holy is he who has a part in the first resurrection. Now, here at the end of the tribulation, we have a resurrection. It's called the first resurrection. And because the rapture is a resurrection, some people say this is evidence that it's not before the tribulation period, but it's after the tribulation period. However, I believe that the first resurrection comes in stages. You don't have to have a first resurrection just be one stage. Jesus was part of the first resurrection. I believe that the church is part of it during the resurrection and the rapture, when he comes back for the living and the dead. And then after the tribulation period, mostly those that have given up their lives for Christ, they're the ones resurrected and they're part of the first resurrection. Which tells us, by the way, that in eternity, we will have a resurrected bodies. This mortal will put on immortality. This corrupt will put on incorruptible. We will be like Christ, who was able to enter a room with the windows being barred and the doors being locked, but also able to eat food. So we can learn what the eternal state is. When someone dies now, they go into the intermediate state, and we're not quite sure what that is. Do they have a temporary body? Are they spirit right now? We know they're in the presence of God. That's the intermediate state. But after the resurrection, we have our bodies back. Okay, same bodies. They'll look different. Don't worry. The same bodies, though. You think, well, I should have died when I was 20 then. I'd be 20 throughout all of eternity. I'm quite sure God has that all worked out, all right? I really want to go more into that, but I'm not. I don't have time. All right. But they shall be priests of God and Christ and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. Now, that's the end of our text. So we have the 1,000 years mentioned 6 times here in the first 6 verses. And to me, it's literal every time. There's not anything that I would look at it and go, that's not literal. Every time we read it, we think it's literal. And that's why the early church for the first 300 years believed in premillennialism. Now, let me just say something else about that. That historical millennialism that was believed the first 300 years and what we believe on premillennialism today had some differences. So they didn't believe 100% of what we believe about premillennial, but they were premillennial. Theologians call that historic premillennialism, the first 300 years of the church, and then what we have today, just simply premillennialism or dispensational premillennialism, which I don't like that title because we're not dispensational. All right. So again, am I too many questions? Have I lost you? Still here? All right, good. All right. So let's talk about the characteristics of the millennium period, because this is going to help us out, because some of these characteristics can't happen if now is the millennium. If we're living in the millennium now, then some of these can't be. And the first one's a good example of that. It is a time of peace. I'm going to give you 2 verses for this one, Isaiah 2:4. And I could give you a lot more, by the way. There's so much said about the millennium period being a time of peace. I could give you multiple verses on each of these things I'm going to make. I'm just giving you examples. So a time of peace, Isaiah 2:4 says, "He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people." So he's going to actually be judging and ruling and reigning. "They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." Could that be now? Is there any stretch that we could say that we're living in some kind of peace today? Or that we have been since Jesus? Jesus said there will be wars and rumors of wars, but don't let these things bother you. The end is not yet. When there is an end, then there's peace. My mom said to me when I was about 12 years old, we were still attending the Methodist church, and she said to me, "Jesus can't come back for 1,000 years because the Bible says there's 1,000 years of peace and then Jesus comes." And I believed her. I was like, well, 1,000 years then, until I started studying the Bible and I went, "Mom, you're wrong." Zechariah 9:10, Jesus comes back and then there's the 1,000 year peace. Not there's 1,000 years of peace and then Jesus comes back. Zechariah 9:10, "I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion will be from sea to sea and from river's end to the ends of the earth." So he will speak peace to the nations. There will be no war during the millennium period. And that makes sense. Jesus is ruling and reigning. He's able to keep the peace. It is also a time of safety. We're living in a time where I don't feel very safe. Me and my wife are going to take a weekend off in December, early on in December. We start talking about where we could go, and we start rattling off some of the places we like to go, like Huntington Beach or Laguna, or just, you know, some of those places pretty close, California. We can go there for a few days. And, you know, for me, I don't know, last time we were in San Diego, the Gaslight District, I didn't feel safe. You're walking around, you got, you know, a lot of homeless people walking around. You got people that I don't think were homeless, but it was like, this isn't too safe, you know? Certainly didn't feel safe being there with my wife. And a couple other areas were like that. And I won't tell you where we decided to go, but we decided to go somewhere where I think there won't be a homeless situation. And not only the homeless situation, but kind of the crime that goes along with that as well. So a time of safety is the millennium, Micah 4:4. "But everyone shall sit under the vine or under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it." So you won't have to lock your doors during the millennium. You'll be able to stroll down the street in any part of town and not be afraid. It is a time of worshiping Christ in Jerusalem. Again, I had many verses to choose from this. Zechariah 14:16 said, "And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of the nations which come against Jerusalem," and I think that's the children, by the way, "shall go up from year to year and worship the King of hosts and keep the Feast of Tabernacles." There's others that talk about them worshiping in Jerusalem, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It is a time where people live longer. And this is an interesting one. You remember in the antediluvian period, that's the pre-flood period, people lived to be around 900 years old. Methuselah is the man that lived the longest, right? And they lived to be about 900 years old. So here it says in Isaiah 65:20, "No more shall the infant from there live but a few days." No more crib death, no more babies dying, "nor an old man who has not fulfilled his years." So you're going to live to whatever this set time is. Remember, these people are living and dying and burying and marrying. They're living normal lives, just another length of days. "For the child shall die 100 years old." So when you're 100 years old, you're still a child, which would be like the time before the flood. "But the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed." So there will be sin in the millennium period. There are those that are shocked to find out that that's the case. But the heart of the men who were living when Jesus returned is still fallen and it's still sinful. And that's why Satan can rally them and deceive them. And we'll be talking about that as we move forward. It is also a time of healing. It says in Isaiah 35:5-6, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The lame shall leap like a deer, the tongue of the dumb will sing, and water shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert." It will also be a time of justice. And this makes sense because Jesus is just. and he's the one ruling and reigning. He's at the top of the government. This is a true theocracy, and we are ruling and reigning with him. Isaiah 9:7, of the increase, and this is a Christmas verse, by the way, right? Isaiah 9:6 says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. That's Christmas verse. This is the next verse, Isaiah 9:7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. There's another passage on the peace of the millennium. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order and establish it with judgment and justice. He's going to judge during that time because people are going to do things that are bad. And he's going to rule with a rod of iron, but he's also going to be just in what he does. From that time forward, forevermore, the zeal of the Lord has performed this. It is a time of Christ reigning, ruling and reigning. This is Luke 1:32 and 33. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob. This is another Christmas passage, right? And of his kingdom, there will be no end. He rules over Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. There's no reason for us to think this is the church. This is anything else but Israel. Now, just a couple of more. It is a time of God's will being done on the earth. When what God wants to be done on the earth will be done. When you watch the news in those days, you're going to be watching about God's will being done. I don't know about you, but right now, I don't watch the news. I watch the news a little bit, I get upset. I'm sick of being upset, so I've stopped watching the news. So I just turned it all off. I'm just forget about it. So if you said, you know what's happening out there? I don't know what's happening out there. But God's will be done during the millennium period. This is Matthew 6, 10 through 11. There are Old Testament passages that say this, but here's what Jesus taught us to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Why would God have a millennium period? To fulfill his promises to Israel, to rule and reign over Israel like he said he would do, to answer the prayers of all the saints that have prayed the Lord's Prayer over the years. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And that will happen during the millennium period. Finally, it's a time of peace of wild animals. Do you remember during the tribulation period, I think it's in chapter 7 of the book of Revelation, might be 6, not 7, 7 or 8, that wild animals attack people. It just kind of added on to the end of one of the judgments, and wild animals are attacking people. It says this many were killed and that many were killed, and then people were killed by wild animals. It's kind of how it just throws it out there. So the animals are going crazy during the tribulation period. Now let's read what happens to them during the millennium period. I want you to notice that you never have the lion laying down with the lamb. I can't tell you how many preachers I've heard, how many messages I've heard that the pastor says, the millennium period, the lion's going to lay down with the lamb. Now, maybe they are, but the Bible doesn't say it, all right? It says something else. And by the way, people I really respect too, by the way, have said that. So I'm not saying they're bad for saying it. Anyway, this is Isaiah 11, 6 through 8. The wolf shall lie down with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion, and the fatling together. So they're all there, right? And they're all laying down. So maybe they're accurate in one way, but not together. They're not coupled together. And a little child shall lead them. Little child's leading the leopard and the wolf and the lion, leading them all. Little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear graze together. That's not the way it happens today. The bears graze on the cows today. They don't graze together. Their young ones shall lie down together. The baby bear and the baby calf will lay down together. And the lion shall eat straw like an ox. And a nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. And a weaned child shall put his hand in a viper's den. And in Tucson, Arizona, children will pick up rattlesnakes. I'm just adding that in, right? Adding to the word of God. But so the animal kingdom world is going to be different during the time of the millennium. Now, this is just an overview. This topic is so big because there's so much said in the Old Testament about the millennium, especially in the prophets. So if you want to study more about it, there is a ton of information for you to be able to study. But I want to close with three things. Number one, whatever your position of the millennium is, we are fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And we should extend the right hand of fellowship and not let our unity be broken. This is a lot of secondary issues. We should not let our unity be broken. It's okay to come down on another side of an issue and still have fellowship with that person. Now, again, I can't give Mormons the right hand of fellowship. I can't give Jehovah's Witnesses the right hand of fellowship. But I can someone who believes in the resurrection and the deity of Jesus who believes something different about the millennium period or the rapture of the church. Secondary issues. So when you understand when I say it's a secondary issue, that's what I mean, okay? Number two, even though there's a lot of mystery here, and I admit that, we are going to reign with Christ. We don't know if any of these thrones are ours because I can't find any supporting evidence for it. But it sure seems like it. And we are going to rule and reign with him. And Jesus did say we're going to sit on his throne. So I don't know how that works. He's got a big throne. We're all going to be climbed up on it. Number three, it will be great to see a world that is truly under the ultimate theocracy. We have democracy. We have communism. We've got socialism. And we have a theocracy. And this is a true theocracy. And the world will be under the rule of God. Theo meaning God will be under the rule of God. And that's awesome. Now, I want to really end with a song. And this is a Christmas song. I couldn't find anybody to sing it for me today, so I'm going to sing it to you. Lion. But you're going to hear this around Christmas time. Okay? So I'm going to give you the song. It's Joy to the World, so you guys know it well. It's one of the most popular Christmas songs there is. We sing it here every year. So when we're singing Joy to the World, I want you to think back to this study and to the millennium, because listen to what it's about. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Now that's fits baby Jesus perfectly. Let earth receive her king. That fits baby Jesus perfectly. He is their king when he came the first time. Let every heart prepare him room. That fits baby Jesus as well. Let the hearts prepare him room. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Now we've jumped from baby Jesus to reigning Jesus. And he doesn't reign the first time he comes. He lays his glory aside. He humbles himself and he dies for our sins. So joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let all their songs employ. While fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glory of his righteousness and the wonder of his love. It's the millennial. It's him ruling and reigning and wonders of his love. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive his king. And then it repeats, 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 repeats. But it's about him ruling and reigning, and one day we will rule and reign with him, and what an incredible day that will be.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you would like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org. where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sundays at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Sunday morning 9:30 service and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, We'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.